D-backs manager Tori Lovello joins Burns and Gambo to talk D-backs baseball. Presented by NoBull.com. 10,000 vehicles, 23 dealers, 17 brands. NoBull.com, where Arizona buys cars.
5:05 first pitch tonight. You'll hear it on ESPN 620. Clay Buchholz making his first start, coming off the disabled list, going up against Kyle Hendricks. And joining us right now live from Wrigley Field, where his team is getting ready to play game two of this four-game series after last night's win 7-1, is the manager, Tori Lovello. I got Luke Lipinski filling in for Gambo today. Tori, how are you today?
Burnsy, I'm doing well. How are you?
Fantastic. On if you would ever let Goldie pitch like Rizzo did, quote, "If I do, I probably will get fired tomorrow. Goldschmidt, I can tell you, will never pitch in a game," close quote. Right. Is that, did you get that from D. Hall directly? Does that come from Hazen? Who has sent those orders down that Goldschmidt is not allowed to pitch in a game, Skip?
Well, one of the two for sure would probably call me right away, but Mike Hazen and I do talk about situations like that, and really at the point in time when you need a pitcher, anybody that really volunteers or has done it before are going to be your first candidates. But you would hate to see a Jose Canseco type of a situation where you get on the mound and the position player thinks he's a pitcher and he's going to go out there and start throwing bullets, and he gets hurt. So Paul Goldschmidt is our first baseman. He is going to continue to be our first baseman. He might occasionally DH in American League Park. That'll be the extent of any change, I can assure you of that.
Three times in the last 2 weeks, we have seen two position players pitch in a game, and your team has been involved in two of those games. One time it was your team using the two position players. Last night, of course, it was the Cubs. Is this the usage rate for position players pitching? It's going to shatter the previous record this season. Mm-hmm. Is this the closest thing baseball has to uncle? I quit. I give. White flag. Call off the dogs. We give. I mean, is this the closest your sport has to that?
That's pretty good. I like that. Well, you can't forfeit, right? There's no 10-run rule, so you got to keep playing it out. And each set of circumstances will be a little bit different. I'm not sure exactly what happened in Chicago other than they played several games, doubleheaders, against the Cardinals before we got here. So timing was good for us to come in here and have them be thinned out pitching-wise, so it worked out that they ran out of guys. But then it comes to preserving and making sure that you're ready for the next day. Once you get that feeling that you might be punting on today, you want to make sure that tomorrow you're fully loaded. We were in a totally different set of circumstances the one day in Colorado. We were fine. Everything was perfect for us in the bullpen. We had a number of innings. We had a couple of different scenarios if we fell behind, if we were ahead, if we were even. So we were totally covered. Since Shelby Miller went one inning, the next guy who could give us 50 to 60 pitches threw 40 plus or 50 in one inning. And then the guy that was going to possibly give us a little bit of length gets hurt on the last pitch that he throws. So that was a perfect storm of confusion for us, and it led to us using a guy in the fourth inning. I'm not a huge fan of it, but I will say this, a little bit what Joe Maddon did yesterday. I believe in preserving the bullpen out of necessity if you are going to punt on today to make sure that you're ready to go 100% tomorrow.
Tori, we've already seen Jeff Mathis be real effective with Zach Greinke and vice versa. Now we're seeing it with Patrick Corbin. In your mind, what is it that has made him so effective at making the pitchers he's working with better? I mean, we were calling him the fixer last segment in the sense that he's making these starters, he's bringing out the best in them, which is the catcher's job.
It is. It certainly is. And, when you pair guys up, you want to see how things work. And we'd been rotating different guys with Patrick, and I just wanted to see what Jeff could do to get him locked back in. Patrick had a great start and was kind of wobbling through a couple of starts after that great start. And Jeff just has such respect from the pitchers. And, Alex is in the same boat as well. I think JR is still learning. He's still young, but he's got two great mentors to pick up from. So in Jeff's case specifically, when he puts a fastball down, you feel like that's the right call and you want to execute it. And if he decides that he wants to do something different the next at-bat, you don't question why. You just know that he's got a good plan, a good rhythm, a good reason. And that's from the experience and the amount of innings and the amount of pitches that he's caught from different guys in different scenarios up and down the course of his career. And then he throws in a game plan and makes adjustments off the game plan. And he's just one of those guys that is charismatic when he's behind the plate. He's got a great demeanor. He knows how to work and massage the zone and receive balls. And you can tell when guys have good chemistry, and they certainly do. Those two guys, Corbin and Mathis, as do Zach and Mathis. And they're blending together, and it's something that I definitely have taken notice of. And the reasons why I can't totally pinpoint, I think I've given you some soft answers that are probably pretty close to the reasons why.
Troy Lovello, the manager of the Diamondbacks, joining us here live from Wrigley Field on the Burns and Gambo Show with Luke Lipinski filling in for Gambo today. So given all of that and the success that Patrick has had with Jeff and that Zach has had with Jeff, is there a temptation, will there be a temptation, to use Mathis when it comes to Robbie Ray? Because I know since coming back from injury, the results haven't quite been what he or you guys would want. Will that be a temptation to use your fixer on Robbie when he makes his next few starts?
I like that, the fixer. That's what
the fixer. That's what we're calling. That's what we've been calling him on the show all day. He's the fixer, Torrey. Yeah.
Well, I feel like given Jeff's track record and his age, we got to preserve him, and we can't, we're not going to run him out there 5 out of 6 days. We got to make sure that we get him through the season at some point. And maybe it's late August, early September, when things are really pumping and we're in a stretch drive and more of a got to win right now. And I don't want to say that lightly, because we feel that's how we are today in Chicago. But you might see a little bit more of Jeff Mathis. Towards the stretch drive last year and for several playoff games, that's the reason why I did catch him. And that's the reason why I felt so comfortable starting him against Clayton Kershaw in game one of the NLDS. Because I just felt like he gets the most out of the pitchers, follows a great game plan, and is, as of late, been throwing up a quality at-bat. So he deserved that. We'll see how that lands in the next several weeks, but it's something that's definitely on my radar.
Torrey, we didn't see a whole lot of Steven Souza in the first half of the season. I didn't play last night. It looks like he may back clean up this evening, but you guys brought him in with a specific purpose in mind. I'm sure he's been hitting a lot better of late, even coming out of the break, but going into the break as well. What are you guys looking for from him in the final couple months of the season?
Well, not trying to play catch up, not trying to hit 45 home runs and 65 at bats, because that's impossible. He had a tremendous year last year. We know that he had 30 home runs, he had close to 80 RBIs, and was a force in a Tampa Bay lineup. And we felt like coming over here in a very, very good offensive environment with a lot of offensive catalysts, that those numbers would spike. But unfortunately, he got hurt trying to be a playmaker, got banged up a couple times on his return. So we talked about a healthy second half and not trying to do too much, just relaxing, being Steven Souza, because that's all we need. We don't need him to hit 45 home runs in those 60 at bats. We just need him to have a good approach. We need to have him to have the same consistent approach, seeing pitches, hitting the pitch that he's looking for, using all fields, and playing the quality defense that he has. And if he does that, we're going to be just fine. It's a very strong temptation for when you switch teams, you want to show them that you can do it, and you're going to justify that trade. And when you miss time, you're going to try and force the issue to try and make up numbers-wise, which you really can't. So those are conversations that I'm having with him right now. It seems to have been very productive. He's just nice and relaxed right now, and he's been in a very good place over the past 10 to 12 games.
Given the people that you work with and the organization that you work for and the position the organization you work for is in right now, do you anticipate you will have an additional face or two that will be added to your roster sometime in the next week or so with the trade deadline looming?
Burns, you know what? I love it. That's a good trap question.
Like, oh, of course.
Really good.
Yep.
You were Jeff Mathis. You just massaged that one. It was so good.
I'm a professional talker, Torrey.
I love it.
What I do. I talk for a living, man.
Also, I want to tell you, I saw you on the air the other day. You have a tremendous tan. I know you were out of town. Something must have happened. You must have been outside working on that great tan. Anyways, I will answer
solid
that question.
Solid deflection of the question there, Torrey.
Right?
That was good.
Totally
good.
Disarmed. You disarmed me. Now I'm trying to deflect.
Complete misdirection. I really respect that. That's good.
Yeah. I'll answer it the best way that I can. I am always optimistic. I'm not involved in the war room. I know the guys are upstairs right now pounding away at what they can do and what they want to do and what the plan is for today and what the plan is for tomorrow, next year, 10 years from now. So they see it from that level. The level that I see it as is right now, how are we going to win? What can we do to help? What's going to happen? And if there are some gaps, I give my input and they fill it in from there. certainly. It would be great if Hank Aaron walked into this place tomorrow. I don't know if that's a possibility, but I'm always an optimist that we're going to go out and win 100 games. I still think we're going to win 100 games. That's my job. I have to do that every single day, and I have to really believe that and preach that internally. And so if it happens and we do add somebody, I know that this front office is going to pick the perfect candidate. He's going to fit into this culture, and he's going to help us win baseball games, and that's the bottom line.
Good luck today against the Cubs, and thanks for noticing the tan, Torrey. I appreciate that.
I appreciate that. Hey, I want to give a shout-out to Ginger Laker. It's her birthday today. Tim Laker, one of our assistant hitting coaches. So I told her I would, so I want to say happy birthday, and I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, sounds good, Torrey. We appreciate
it. Thanks, Torrey.
Didn't know she was a regular listener on the Burns and Gambo show, but we will take it. Absolutely.